Good evening. Welcome to our Good Friday evening service. On this day, as we reflect on that first Good Friday, what are our thoughts? Do we think of the beating and mocking that was made of Jesus? As in Matthew 27, verse 29, it says, "Then they made a crown of thorns, placed it on his head, put a staff in his hand, knelt before him and mocked him. And they spat on him and hit him over the head." Do we think of his pain as they drove those nails into his hands and feet on that cross? Not just small nails, big nails. Or do we reflect on John 19, verse 30? Jesus drank the wine and said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and died. And now Marcus is going to bring our reading to us.
Hello, everyone. Today's reading is on John chapter 19, verse 17. It says, "Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one of each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and festooned to the cross. It read, 'Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews.' Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priest of the Jews protested to Pilate, 'Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this means that man claimed to be King of the Jews.' Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.' When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with them under garment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in peace from top to bottom. 'Let's not tear it,' they said to one another. 'Let's decide by lot who will get it.' This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, 'They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment.' So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sisters, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple who he loved standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son,' and to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, so that they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted into Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Note, it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they didn't break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it was given testimony, and his testimony was true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may also believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. No one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look unto the one they have pierced.
It's Good Friday. Somebody posted earlier on social media wishing everybody a happy Good Friday. There's something quite ironic about all of those statements whenever we consider the events of Good Friday. We know that. We understand that. We get that. We get that we can call it a Good Friday even because of the horror of what happened. But as, in one sense, as Frank led us as we began tonight to put ourselves in that place of that first Good Friday. The disciples could not have seen it as a good day. It was a day filled with despair and despondency. It was a day filled with the fact that they thought it had now ended. It was over. And they had followed this man that they believed was the Messiah. And even though they had questioned, even though they didn't quite understand all of the time, they continued to follow him in the understanding and the knowledge that there was something special about Jesus. And even though Jesus described to them what was about to happen, what would happen, and what must happen, there is a moment where they must have felt completely despondent in this story. A moment where they felt defeated. A moment where, we didn't read that part, but that moment where Peter denies Jesus three times as he has been arrested. That moment where all the other disciples seem to scatter from around him. There's also a moment at the cross where that some of the disciples, as it describes the women, gather to watch Jesus die. And that moment, I cannot help but think they must have thought, what was it all about? He was supposed to save us. He was supposed to bring change and transformation. He was supposed to be the long-awaited Messiah. But here he is, dying on a cross. The religious leaders even tried to change the sign that was above his head to read, he claimed to be the King of the Jews. But even in the passage that Marcos read to us, there is so much fulfillment of prophecy. We talked about that on Sunday, whenever Jesus already knew that he was going to ride in on a donkey. He described and told those who were there, tell them, they will challenge you and you're to tell them this. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him as they had a meal together. Jesus foreknew all of these things, and in this moment as he is dying on a cross, the prophecy, the foreknowledge of what would happen is now coming true. They didn't divide his clothes, they kept them as one garment. They didn't change the sign above his head, nor did they break a bone in his body. Breaking of the bones in the body was the final act of the crucifixion. Crucifixion is that horrible, agonizing death. Many would have been tied, bound with their hands and their feet to the cross, but Jesus was nailed, and as Frank said at the beginning, they weren't small nails, they were big nails. I remember at one stage doing this in a youth setting and trying to find a nail that was approximately 9 inches long, because that's roughly the size that it went through. No hardware store sells them today. That's a huge nail. But as Jesus hung on the cross, the whole crucifixion was that you hang and that you, as you become weaker and weaker, you actually slunk down. The pain is in your hands as you do that. The pain is in your feet as you try to push yourself up. Because actually what is happening is that you're suffocating yourself as you slink down. Your lungs begin to give up and you suffocate yourself. That's why they would have come along and broke the legs, so that they would have fallen as far as they could to eventually finish off the individual. But they didn't break a bone in Jesus' body, according to the prophecy that would come about the Messiah from the Old Testament. They found him already dead. And so they pierced his side with a spear. And the mixture of blood and water, as described in another gospel, comes out, also a prophecy from the Old Testament. There is so much prophecy and fulfillment in this. But yet there is so much simplicity in the Good Friday story. And many of us have been about church before. Many of us will have heard this read before. Many of you, us, will have heard a preacher on a Good Friday evening talk about the crucifixion. But for me, as I prepared for this one, this particular year, the words that jumped out for me are found in this particular part of the passage. Later, knowing all was now completed, and so the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge in a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Those three little simple words, "It is finished." To the disciples hearing those for the first time, could that have sounded as if Jesus too had given up? It's over. I'm dead. But yet we know, looking back, that that was not a despondent cry. That was a victory cry. That was Jesus saying, "It is finished. My work is now complete. My purpose for coming is now fulfilled and finished in my death. Because my death will bring you new life." It's Jesus declaring a victory cry over the first people who heard it and over us tonight. A victory cry that says it is finished and that he is sovereign and in control. But yet we live our lives as if it's not quite finished yet. We live our lives as if Jesus is not the total victor in all aspects and areas of our life. Where do you need Jesus to say, "It is finished," for you tonight? Could that be in that moment where he offers you salvation for the very first time? Where he calls you to be his son or his daughter? Could that be that you have been feeling as if you've been drifting or walking away or even running away from him, and he's saying, "It is finished, it is time to come home"? Could it be in a particular area or aspect of a relationship that you're involved in where you're finding it difficult and you need the victory of Jesus to say, "It is finished"? The burden has been lifted. Could it be in a particular space in your life of health where you need Jesus to declare, "It is finished"? Because in any of those situations, the "it is finished" does not mean it's an end. The "it is finished" means there is a victory cry over our lives. "It is finished" means that in this moment, Jesus is present. "It is finished" means in this moment, he is here and he is willing to help. It is finished. Complete. Whole. Because that's what he offers us. That's what he gives to us. That's what we carry within us. The victory cry of "it is finished," the hope rising within us, the joy of the salvation that is given to us and placed within us. The cross that we can hold high in our lives and in this place. The message that we can carry to other people. That the Messiah did not simply die. He did not simply die in the sense that it was over, that he failed in what he came to do. He died so that he could declare it is finished. He died that he could declare a victory song. He died that he might rise again. And that's the hope that we carry, that those first people who heard that "it is finished" didn't quite see. Because we know this is not all that there is. A lot can happen in 3 days. The crown of thorns turns to the crown of majesty on a king's head. And it's in this moment between now and Sunday that we gather, that we reflect, that we create space to remember the awesome sacrifice that he gave for each one of us. It's in this space that we can lay before him the burdens where we need and want him to cry, "It is finished." So that as the sun rises on Easter Sunday, we can walk with a different gait in our step. And so "it is finished" is not "it is finished." "It is finished" is the victory cry of a risen king. "It is finished" is the victory cry of a personal Saviour. "It is finished" is the victory cry of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who meets us right where we are, and the one who fulfills and carries out all of his promises to each one of us. Let's pray together. Jesus, in this moment, we want to unburden our hearts before you. And maybe we have done on many an occasion, but yet tonight we want afresh and anew to lay before you the burden where we desire for you to declare it is finished. That we might know the peace that passes all understanding. That we might stop running and stand still to meet you. That we might see relationships restored, renewed, refreshed. That we might see health worries or concerns broken into. Plant a seed of hope within our hearts. And give us the strength to nourish it and water it, tend it and care for it. That we would carry the "it is finished" as a victory banner above our lives. not with hearts that are despondent, but with hearts that are thankful and always looking up. In Jesus' name, amen. What shall I do then with the one that you call the King of the Jews? Pilate asked them. Crucify him, they shouted. It was the third hour when they crucified him. And they didn't notice of the charge against him read, the King of the Jews. They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, so you're going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Come down from that cross and save yourself. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion stood there in front of Jesus, heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God.